My name is Kirsty Rayner, and I am obsessed with all things mindset, meditation, business, and helping you to overcome those mindset blocks and magical breakthroughs in every season of life. I'm a multiple business owner, accredited transformational and mindset coach, Vedic meditation teacher, a yogi with 10 years marketing experience on paper, but informally, I'm obsessed with growth, a pale rosé wine lover, chocoholic, and your new bestie. We get into all the secrets and hacks to get you in an abundant mindset. So go and grab a coffee, get cozy, get comfortable. This is the Mindset and Me podcast. Welcome to the Mindset and Me podcast. So this week I am joined by the incredible Marie Reynolds. Now Marie's approach to skincare is totally unique. And when I was kindly introduced to her, I became quickly obsessed. I've used already some of the products and we will get into details of that. But also having worked in the industry for over 35 years, she has this unique approach as both a therapist and also a product development expert, skincare obsessed, knows everything about the human body. And I really just can't wait to share this with you. So welcome to the podcast, Marie. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. I mean, let's just get into it because I'm obsessed from what I was told, the stories about you and like your work, and it's just totally unique. So I'd love to really understand, like, let's go back to the beginning of these 35 years. You know, what path have you taken and what's got you where you are today?
Well, I think it's a lot of what I've done is like a happy accident and through trauma and through a lot of trauma in my life that I've had to just literally pull my big girl pants up and just get on with it. In fact, my hashtag is Hootamo, heads up, tits out, march on. So, so that's been something that I've lived by my whole life.
So, I'm obsessed. So I'm already obsessed.
I actually bought a number plate on it because I thought that's it. That's my mantra. So
I love
it. So it was I suppose way back when I started in beauty therapy, and even though it is amazing beauty therapy, and for what all of these treatments make you feel or how they make you feel, it didn't really hit the spot for me. There was always something missing. So, you know, I went into oriental diagnosis and I went into homeopathy. During the time that I was studying, my daughter's father, my ex-husband, was involved in a very serious incident. His friend was killed and he was left with brain damage. So, and it was a massive, great big case. It was a murder, attempted murder case. It was all very, very traumatic. Oh, and, anyway, it was very, very hard. We was told we couldn't have children. We was told that, you know, he couldn't walk or talk. And at the time he couldn't, but he got better. He got well, even though he still had issues, you know, mentally. And he had to go to a brain rehabilitation unit. And it was really like Hugh Hefner's playground. He was up to all sorts, and he basically ran off and left us. So I just thought, well, what am I going to do? You know, I was left with a little girl, and you know, she was tiny. She was only three. And I just thought, you know, what am I going to do? I was working for a skincare company, and I was doing, you know, helping with research and development, and I was doing the training. And because of all of the training that I'd done before, you know, like the homeopathy and all the other bits and pieces, I'd pulled it in. And so what happened then was I was getting more attention than the brand, even though I was pushing everything onto the brand. I was getting more attention and they didn't like it. So I looked at my daughter and I thought, do you know what? If I allow people to bully me, what does that say to her? As a single mum, what does it say to her? So I took them to court, and that was the worst thing I could have done, because all of my peers, just the iron curtain came down. And and so I just thought, what am I going to do? So I sold my house, moved in with my parents, and started my my business, and haven't looked back.
It's absolutely an incredible, incredible story. Bless you. I'd done research on you and obviously spoken, but I didn't know about that. I didn't know about the accident and that trauma and then obviously being left. And, you know, it can be so hard in the moment, can't it? But I guess reflecting on that, how does that kind of time in your life feel?
So I think for me, looking back on it, my father has always been sort of, it's not... it's not productive thinking in a negative way. No matter what trauma that you have put on you, you have to look at what you can learn from this. You can't keep over-processing why me and why is this happening, because it's not productive. And being a single mum that had to provide for this little girl that had already gone through so much horrific trauma, I just thought, you know, what? Because I always, even now, look on things where, okay, this is like a test. Where is my way out of it? What do I do? And that's why I brought the non-emotional contract out, which we'll talk about later. But I think looking back on it, it's I just sort of like put everything, all of the emotional stuff out of it and look on it as a logical way of doing it. And I think for me, my main drive was this little girl, was to think that she's going to grow up. And I wanted to look back and think my mum, you know, was a strong person and aww, you know, just always made sure that she, you know, even though the most scariest things can happen, and, you know, even with this skincare company, I think they thought that because I was a single mum that they could treat me the way they would, and because I had to meet my mortgage payments, that I'd put up with it. And I didn't. And, you know, I won the court case, which was amazing. But then, as I said, all my peers, all of the Iron Curtain come down and they don't want to know you if you've taken this person to call. So I literally had to start from scratch. And I think now I've put a good work ethic and a good stress, hopefully, you know, and how to deal with stress in Olivia's path, you know. So I think even though I've gone through it all, I always say to people, you've got to have, you know, your life is like a tapestry and you have to have these dark shades to make a beautiful picture. And that's what life is all about. It's what makes you.
Oh, I love that so much. You touched on stress there then. So would you say that's a really important factor, like, within your work?
What do you mean? Like, stress for me or stress for, like, dealing with stress for clients?
Yeah, for clients. Like, do you see a lot of that, you know, like, with the things that you kind of working on or requests for you, or just I guess living in 2022, perhaps even just that?
Well, especially through the pandemic. Yeah, I mean, like, through the pandemic, I was doing free consultations and doing, like, distance energy therapy. And also, you know, with people so worried about, you know, COVID and the vaccinations and all sorts of things, all the worries that have gone through that, stress and anxiety has gone through the roof. So, yeah, I mean, that's just sort of like hand in hand, part of the course for the treatments that I do now. Anxiety and stress. And that, as I said, is why I published my non-emotional contract, because this was something that I always spoke about with my clients. And now, you know, I've got the non-emotional contract on the website.
Yeah. Could you go into a bit more detail in that, actually? Because I kind of skimmed over it, but I almost wanted you to tell me about it, you know? I think it's brilliant.
So really, it was based on all of the crap that I'd gone through before. And I reflected and I thought, well, how did I do that? You know, my dad, as I said, always used to say, just put the blue light on, focus on the blue light. You know, if ever there was any trick, just think of a blue light. And so for me, I have to have things written down in a logical sense, almost like a plan. And so I used to say to my clients, look, you know, when you go to work, you have a rota, or you have a plan of doing things. You have your emails. You have to do this by a certain time. You have to do that by a certain time. You go to work at 9, you finish at 5. Generally. So you have to think about your life in general. Now, the fact is that we have all of our mobile phones and our iPads and all of these things as an extra appendage to our body. And the worst thing that you can do when you're stressed and when you're anxious is go to bed and scroll through these things. You're literally bombarding yourself with a whole heap of anxiety.
Yeah.
So my thing was to look at the non-emotional contract. So what this is take the emotions out of your stress, right? So when you go to bed, invest in a really lovely book, right? Like a journal, but not a journal that you are writing about how you feel, okay? Which is not a bad thing. I'm not saying emotions are a bad thing. They're very, very good. But what happens is if you're stressed and worried, it's almost like you're spinning plates mentally, and then you're in a turret and loads of people are coming in at all different angles, giving you plates. You become overwhelmed and you can't make logical sense of what's going on. So the non-emotional contract, what I ask you to do is say, what's happening right now in my life that's causing me stress? Whether it's finances, whether it's partners, whether it's parents, whether it's siblings, whether it's work, whatever it is, you literally write down and say, right, okay. And you write a bullet point what it is. You don't say, this person's making me feel like X, Y, and Z. You say, you know, bills I have to pay. And then you think, is it in my control? If it's not in your control, then you cross it out. If it is in your control, then you literally write a bullet point of how you're going to get to that end point.
Yeah.
And you stick to those things and you give yourself a goal. I'm actually doing a talk with a lovely girl from the Circle Planner. I don't know whether you know the Circle Planner. It's a journal that I have recommended my clients. It's absolutely brilliant because what it does, it gives you goals that you want to achieve for that month. And then every day it tells you realistic times that you want to achieve those goals. So if you've got something that's bothering you, even if it's talking to somebody, you know, that you feel that they're offloading all their crap onto you and you're getting anxious, you've got to look at a different way to deal with it. If I was to give you a gift that was beautifully wrapped up, but you knew that if you opened it, that would give a gas inside you that would cause you pain, you wouldn't accept it.
Absolutely.
And that's how you've got to look on when people are being, you know, nasty or toxic.
I think as well, like using visualization techniques is super powerful because then people can really see it. There's only when we talk about things constantly theoretically, you can easily not see yourself in that light, or mine's not that bad, or they're not that bad, or that conversation's not that bad. Whereas actually when you kind of put like pen to paper and get the facts down, you start to see actually this is not great.
Yeah, exactly. And also another visualization part of the non-emotional contract is that I always say that every single one of us has a bag of crap that we lug around with us every day. So you visualize what your bag is. My bag is a battered up old doctor's bag. And what we do first thing in the morning is we open our bed covers, jump out of bed, run into the shower, we go on autopilot. Whereas what you need to do is just put your feet on the ground, just visualize your bag. Open up the bag and think, right, what crap can I take out of my bag today? What don't I have to deal with? And then you close your bag, take a few deep breaths, get in a shower, have a cold little spurt if you can stand it, and then start your day. You know, just little techniques like that just really help you manage stress.
I love that. I'm going to use that definitely. I think as well, when, you know, we are in a very busy, I live in London, work in London, you know, it's super busy all the time. We're all running around. We don't have the time to kind of reflect and take that moment to say, actually, is this something that I really need to hold on to today? And to do it without being deep in like a meditation or something, is amazing, isn't it?
But that's the classic thing is what you've just said. We don't have the time. You do have the time.
Yeah.
You have to make time.
Yeah.
We're talking about tiny little snippets throughout your day that you can manage and you won't even, you don't even have to factor. It's just literally just little things like that, retraining your pathways to stop for a couple of seconds before you run into the shower, to stop, be mindful while you're eating, literally tell yourself what you're eating and how you're chewing, slow down your chewing process. Just little things like at nighttime, get a bed routine and don't take your phone, get your phones out of your bed, get your electrics out of your bed and just start to write down your non-emotional, get into the habit of emptying that emotional trash can. Just those little things make huge impact on your life.
No, absolutely. I think it's very, very powerful. So I guess to be really specific, I'd love to know what your routine is like in the morning and in the evening.
Well, I moved because I'm a Londoner, born and bred. I was brought up in Southeast London and then I moved to Norfolk 7 years ago and it was the best thing I ever did. I had clinics all over London. I shut them down apart from Fortnum and Mason's. I still have Fortnum and Mason's. And come to Norfolk. So we wake up every day and we've got two chocolate Labradors. So the first thing that we do is go for a walk.
Oh.
So we literally live in the most beautiful part of Norfolk. We've got a field that we walk through. We walk through farmers' fields and round the back of the romantic gardens, which are beautiful trees. So that automatically just sets you up in a good mindset. When I come down for breakfast, I have like my cider vinegar and honey. So I have that. Make sure that I have a good breakfast. I'm not rushing my breakfast. When I can, I ground outside. I'll have sort of like pine needle tea and I'll drink that outside with my feet on the ground. My mum thinks I'm a complete nut because I've got like copper pyramid. I've got sort of like when it's snowing, I'll run out in my swimming costume and roll in the snow and I'll do wild water swimming.
Oh.
So all of these things I am very mindful. And I do my non-emotional contract every night. Every night I have the circle planner and I just sit there every night and I think, right, okay, what are the things? Because I have so many things go through my head, and especially now I've got, like, my daughter has moved back into London. She sort of like moved back when she was 18. She's 24 this year. So like, yeah, the anxiety of now, you know, a young adult who you still think is your child trying to manage that. You know, so all of these things, along with product development and developing new products and, you know, and I've just brought in some new treatments. So I have loads and loads of things going through my head. So I make sure that every night I do my non-emotional contract. I try and practice what I preach.
Yeah, very, very poignant. Yeah, I mean, I adore that. I really want to know what you have for your breakfast, because breakfast and me are a constant battle. I am either starving or cannot face eating, and there's no in between.
Yeah, but that links in with your spleen, the spleen and the stomach energy, you see. It's really important to have your breakfast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's very important to have your breakfast. And especially in women, spleen energy depletes through certain stages of their life. Or if you're sort of like overdoing exercise is really, really important. But if you overdo exercise, then obviously you're putting so much strain on your adrenals and also the spleen, so people can't work it out. They say, I'm really fit, I'm really healthy, but actually they've gone to the extreme levels, so they make immune deficient. So eating breakfast is really important.
Yeah.
Breakfast, I usually have either sort of soda bread with like avocado, or, you know, scrambled eggs, or I'll have buckwheat pancake with like raspberries, some agave and chia seeds. And a lot of people love juicing, which is fantastic. But if you're spleen deficient, the spleen hates damp and it hates cold. So eating loads of salads and drinking loads of smoothies actually is not doing you a lot of good. It can create more damp and phlegm in the body. Mm. So all of these things where people think are really healthy, can actually, it depends on the individual. And that's what my work is all about, is taking you as an individual, asking you the questions. My consultation is about an hour, you know, asking all sorts of questions, from how you chew to how you poo and everything in between.
I love that so much. Yep, quite right. I know, it's, someone else told me about this. I don't know if it's part of Chinese medicine, maybe I'm getting that totally wrong. But for example, in winter, you should always try to eat warm foods, and in summer, try to eat colder foods. No,
you haven't got it wrong. That's working on the five elements. But again, it's dependent on the individual, because then you've got to look at the individual in what season they were born, how they were born, whether they're premature, whether they're born by a cesarean section. All of these things matter. And this is the whole misconception with health and wellness and beauty and skin, is putting everyone in a box. You know, it's like saying you've got a normal or dry or not oily skin, or you've got rosacea, or you've got this. Well, why? We have to look at the fundamentals. Why? So, you know, people don't understand that if you look at, you know, for example, if somebody's C-section born, then they're going to have a predisposition for a weakened flora, because the baby comes out of the gut. So they're exposed to a different type of bacterium than they are when they come through the birth canal. So they've got more predisposition to possible inflammations or acne or rosacea, or, you know, even low backache and hamstring problems linked to C-section babies. So, you know, there's so many different factors that you have to take into consideration. You know, as I say, my consultation even asks about, you know, if you've had teeth out, how often you brush your teeth, you know, how long you brush your teeth, you know, all sorts of things, weird things I'll ask. You know, I don't even know.
There's the thing about the ear.
Oh, the ears, yeah. right. So the years come. So I always say that the people are like human novels. You know, there's nothing psychic about it. Anybody can do it. In fact, I teach therapists to do it. So it's about being really perceptive of your client in front of you. And it's being about not getting your client to fill in a consultation where they say, oh, your name, date of birth, are you under the doctor? Yes and no. It's about seeing that person for who they are, not what they're just about to tell you, because your client will only tell you what they want you to know. Right? So it's your job as a therapist to look deeper and wider. So when I'm doing my consultation, I'll have people nodding, and so I'll look about what they're doing with their mouth. So if they're doing this, like licking their lips or biting their lips, if they're, you know, I look at the shape of their nostrils, I look at the texture of their eyebrows, the shape of their ears, you know, the stronger the ears, the stronger the yang energy, or the original chi, which is to do with the fire of the gate of life. It fires all of the other organs. So then you can look at also, so the ears, you know, there was a chap in a playground once when years ago I used to take pictures of people's feet and ears. How I never got a slap, I don't know. And I went up to him and I just said to him, I said, can I ask if I could take a picture of your ears for my students? And he said, yeah, what's wrong with them? And they were so dramatically different. And I just said, oh, can I just ask, are you second conceived? And he said, no. He said, I'm first. And I said, no, not born, conceived. Did mum ever lose any before? So he said, yeah. He said, my mum lost a baby beforehand. So I said, right, okay. I said, does mum ever suffer from any like emotional highs and lows, like bordering on depression? And he said, my mum was sectioned for severe clinical depression. And I said, have you got an ingrown toenail on your left foot, on your big toe? And he said, how the hell do you know that? But it's literally, there's nothing psychic. It's about joining the dots and understanding the characters of this, of these manifestations on the human body. You see, you have so many different connections. Wow. You know, your eyes are not separate from your liver. Your liver is not separate from your gallbladder. There's so many different things. And then you've got lines of fascia. So you've got anatomy terrains that connect everything. You have meridians, but meridians don't just run in sort of like lines up and down the body. They run across and they have collaterals and they have... So there's so many different things. And then you have the energetic pathways. So the energetic pathways are how cellular communications interact. Like you and I are talking at the moment, but if there was a crackling like we thought there was earlier, or if there was like a Wi-Fi dropping, that is a little bit like a pathogen interfering with that communication. So it's my job to look at what frequencies may be causing imbalance in the body and then help to build the body to be at its best optimum healing capacity.
Oh my goodness. I could speak to you for hours. It's fascinating because I've never really heard anyone draw it all in. Like I have different treatments and I have five elements acupuncture. So I've learned quite a lot from them about a certain thing and seeing different nutritionists or all of, you know, I would say I invest in that, but I've never heard it spoken about like all in one place in this way. And it's amazing to me.
Well, that's it. You know, we are what we are by what we eat, experience and inherit, but also, you know, our environment, you know, we're changing all the time. Our body's changing. You've got to remember is that we're only sort of like a percentage human cells. Everything, 98% of our body is bacteria cells or pathogen cells or even parasitic cells. And they all work for us to make us evolve in our environment. But if we live in an environment or if we're abusing our body or if we're stressed or if we're really sort of anxious or we're, you know, drinking, smoking, taking recreational drugs or medication, that creates a environment where there's more of an acidic metabolic terrain, and all of those things that are working for us tend to then work against us. I don't know whether you saw I've just put a reel up, and there was a blood analysis I did on somebody. I was doing some ozone treatments on them, and you could see the actual live bacteria, and they're called proteids. They're like tiny little bacterias in the blood.
Wow.
And so we're doing a course of treatments.
Oh, that's scary. To cleanse the blood.
Yeah, but it isn't. It isn't. 97% of our bodily... I've got to get this right. In funeral directors, there was a survey, and they did 97% of our bodily fluids holds parasites, and a third of our poo is parasite poo. So,
okay.
So they are our friend. They are our friends if we make sure that that environment is nice and acidic, and we're calm, and you know, because I always say that if you're abusing your body, it's a little bit like creating an environment for the hangover. You know, the hangover where they go to Las Vegas. That's like the little parasites and molds and bacteria, you know, just misbehaving.
Absolutely. So I'm guessing quite a lot of people who listen to this podcast are like professional women, 20s, 30s, 40s. What advice can you give for people who are incredibly busy, maybe feeling fatigued, worn down, you know, highly stressed? What kind of small things can we look to do today?
Okay, so adrenal fatigue is like keeping the heating on in the height of summer, and you've got to look at your patterns, because that is the biggest thing. When people say, oh, you know, just implement this, you have programmed yourself to work at a certain pace and a certain state. Now, obviously, with jobs, there are occupational hazards, but there are little things that you can do, like what I said about the non-emotional contract. You know, there's a free download on my website, so they can download it and read it. But just getting into a habit of not putting your phones in your bedroom, that exacerbates stress like you wouldn't believe. I said to people, if you had a child and I told you to get your microwave, put it in your child's bedroom, open the door and leave it on for 8 hours, you'd think I was a lunatic. Yet your mobile phone radiates microwaves, radioactive waves, gases that interfere with our rest and repair of a nighttime. We are electrical beings, so we absorb all of that. And at nighttime, it's when we purge all of our anxiety and stress. So if you're having something that interferes with that purging, then it's going to sort of like, it's almost like you're carrying it over to the next day, you're carrying it over to the next day, and that suppresses. So electrical devices out of the bedroom, making sure that you slow down when you get out of bed in the morning. You know, factor in a little bit of time where you're just slowing. If you can, you know, if you live near a park or anything like that, go out at your lunch break, get out in the park and just take your shoes and socks off and put your feet on the ground. These are little things that can be easily implemented, you know. And when people say, oh, I can't do this and I've got this and I've got that, remember, whatever you say is self-prophesizing. So if you say you can't do something or you haven't got the time, you're actually manifesting that. Whereas if you actually mentally factor that time in, like a rotor, right, in the morning I'm going to do this. In the afternoon, when I've got my lunch break, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to get some fresh air, even walk around the block, you know. If you haven't got anywhere that have got any greenery, there's a fantastic website called groundology.co.uk.
Okay.
And what they do is grounding sheets so that you can put them on. But that if you've got a house plant, right, get a peace lily. Put them in your bedroom because that they absorb electrosmog. But also if you're working in an environment where there's loads and loads of computers, get a peace lily, and in groundology do a cuff with a little rod that you can put in the plant, so you're almost grounding while you're working.
Wow. Oh God, I love that. That's really incredible advice. Thank you so much.
That's all right. And also water. Hydration is key.
Yeah.
Hydration is key. But it's not just any old water. I mean, I highly recommend that you stay away from tap water.
Yeah.
You know, get yourself some nice spring water. Shungite. The shungite is a carbon that you can put in water, and that helps to sort of like naturally filter the water. Mm-hmm. And it also absorbs electrosmog. And just be, you know, empty that emotional trash can. Mm-hmm. And that's about people as well. People, you know, I always say, if it's not your circus, they ain't your monkeys.
Absolutely. I talk about doing that as well. It's, I call it like an audit. So like stage one of like an eight-step thing I have is the first thing to do is a life audit and look at kind of who's giving you energy and who isn't. And then, you know, it doesn't have to be like,
exactly,
they're gone. But it can be this gradual thing, right? This gradual like conversation where you're kind of, it's so important, isn't it?
It is really important. It is so important. And actually, when you change your mindset, you know, it's like I say to my daughter, Olivia, I said, look, you can say anything with a smile. can say anything with a smile, you know, and you've just got to think, you know, that's an unwanted gift and I'm not taking it, you know, and you just have to be brave in saying that. When you change your mindset and the ability to keep accepting this, then it does stop.
Yeah, absolutely. On mindset, thank you. This is like a perfect segue. What would you say is your one mindset hack? So say if somebody's just starting out on their journey, we always close the podcast in this way. What advice would you give to somebody?
Well, the mindset hack, I would say just get out in nature. That's the best mindset hack that you can have. And I know it's corny. Yeah. You know, there's so many people that say to me, oh, you know, I wear a Fitbit to bed or I do meditation with an app, which is okay, that's fine. But to me, it's an oxymoron. Mm. You know, all the best things in life are free. Mm. You know, just make sure that you just get out in nature. That is the best mindset. If you're feeling hemmed in, go for a walk. Focus on your breathing. Your breathing is the most important thing. Focus on how you're breathing. Be aware of how you're breathing, especially while you're eating. Slow down while you're eating and just be mindful. Yeah. Even talk to yourself while you're eating. Just those little hacks. And as I said, I know I keep saying it, it's a non-emotional contract. That's what I wrote it for. You know, there's loads of tips on there that you can read and they are like really good little quick hacks that you can do.
Amazing, amazing. Well, I'll share everything in the show notes. What's something that is coming up for you that we can look forward to? Because obviously you have your product range, which is amazing as well.
Thank you. Right. Okay. So within the product range, I mean, obviously there are some supplements there for anxiety and stress. Three-Set is really good. It's an adaptogen. Adaptogens do what they say on the tin. And also ashwagandha is really good for toning the adrenals. Then Focus is fantastic. Focus has got theanine in it. Focus is really good to calm you down, calm that racing mind down, you know, and it just sort of like eases you through. So it's really lovely to just sort of like, and it gives you a bit of perspective. It just calms everything down. And then obviously the most important part for health and wellness is sleep, good sleep. So I brought out just recently Zeds, which has been
so
amazing.
Good.
It's got, because they're not a sleeping tablet. Yeah. A lot of people think they're not a sleeping tablet. They just calm that analytical mind down and they allow you to just rest and ease into a lovely sleep. And they don't give you that horrible bubblegum head when you wake up. Skincare wise, I've got three new products coming out very, very shortly. They're a series of products. So, so you need to watch this space. I can't really say too much about
that,
but I'm really excited about that. And it works really well in with anxiety and stress.
Amazing.
So those three products coming out in August. And clinic-wise, I've just launched the ozone insufflation, which is absolutely phenomenal. It is ozone gas that is introduced to the bowel and then is absorbed through the body. And then it converts to a higher stable form of oxygen. And it is fantastic for all sorts of, you know, imbalances.
God, that sounds incredible.
So I've just introduced that.
Wow, I've never heard anything like that.
It is incredible.
Wow, that sounds really cool. I'll have to come and see you, definitely. Oh my goodness.
You'll have to come to Norfolk.
I will. Do you know, I've never been to Norfolk, so I will, definitely.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Well, I can tell you now, Norfolk is soul medicine for anybody who's suffering from anxiety. Just to come up here for a weekend, the beaches are white powdery sandy beaches, like you'd never think the UK had beaches like it. And the forests have such pure oxygen. Only a certain mold grows on the tree where there's pure oxygen. So it is the best place to be.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much. And where can everybody find you? I'm obviously going to share all of your details in the show notes as well.
Well, I've got lots of information on Instagram. Yeah. So I'm on Instagram at MarieReynolds_London. My website is MarieReynoldsLondon.com. I've got a clinic in Norfolk in just about 20 minutes outside of Norwich. And I've also got a satellite in Fortnum and Mason's, but I only do skin in Fortnum and Mason's because even though like I love London, my whole thing is making sure that my clients have the proper amount of time, especially when we're dealing with anxiety and stress. I don't want them to feel they're in a revolving door surgery. But I have loads of people come from me from all over the place, all over the world coming to Norfolk. So it's lovely.
Amazing. Oh my God.
And London is only an hour and 50 minutes.
Yeah, it's not far at all. It's really not. Oh, Marie, this has been so lovely. I feel like I've learned so much from you and it's at the tip of the iceberg. There's like tons we could have talked about. So thank you so much for your time. I'm so grateful.
You are more than welcome. It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I really hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. The way that Marie talks and her expertise is honestly something completely unique that I've never seen. And I'm so honored to have been able to bring her to the podcast for you. Please do connect with her. You know, make sure you're following her. She shares so much knowledge, so much wisdom, and that is exactly what we need within the industry. So thank you so much, Marie, for being the most incredible guest. So you know what part of the podcast it is now. I want you to get really comfortable, really cozy as we go into this week's mini meditation. And I really want to have a nice focus today on connection and grounding. Feeling that connection to the earth. Feeling totally grounded. Allowing the body to just gently begin to feel heavy. Taking this time for yourself. And just gently sending the breath down the body now, down to the feet, connecting with the earth. I want you to imagine that you are feeling supported. You can feel the weight of the feet, the weight of the body. You feel yourself relax. Take a few breaths, absorb this feeling. Begin to notice how it feels to feel supported. We spend so much of our time carrying around so much weight, expecting so much of ourselves, pushing ourselves. When are we giving ourselves time to be truly connected, to be truly supported by each other, by the universe, by our collective energy that we have? We are built of energy. Tapping into that now, noticing that. And I want you to just visualize, just gently feeling just warmth at the bottom of the back. It's where our root chakra would be. And it's really the focus on grounding and connection. And I want you to imagine you're sending your breath into this space. Feeling that warmth, absorbing that feeling. Breathing. Feel this support and this connection. Absorb this feeling now. Breathe it in. Recognize this feeling. Take this feeling with you now for the rest of your day. Coming back to this practice whenever you need to feel more grounded. As always, thank you so much for being here, and I will see you again next week.